Actually, the funny part is, I don't think there's anything ever on this program that the management at Curtis Media really objects to.
That's a good thing.
I haven't heard it at all. All right, here in studio is Rhonda Benvey Plummer of Help Me Rhonda in Interiors. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time with my headphones and my brain.
Yeah, my headphones sound weird too. Everything sounds weird.
Everything sounds fuzzy in here.
Yes.
So if that's something that needs to be fixed, let's do it. All right, we've got a Cape Fear Seafood gift certificate, $25 for a question for Rhonda Benvey Plummer. Rhonda, talk to me about a project you've done recently. Please brag to me, because you're so humble. Please brag.
Oh, it's so hard. I do so many different things that it's hard to just like say the one thing, right? Yeah. You know?
Sure.
So, you know, if you're talking about a remodel job.
I want to talk about a remodel job.
Okay. So a remodel job, I would say we just got through with a beautiful master bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a older client of mine that she's been a client for a while, and she decided she wanted to redo her master, so we went in there and did her bathroom, and we did an organizational thing in her closet as well, you know, at the same time, and it has turned out really, really pretty.
Did you do an alternative kind of shower? Is it a low entry shower or something like that?
We took out the big tub that nobody uses anymore.
That's right.
Right.
Yes.
And made a really big shower.
Yeah.
And like, it's kind of cool the way we did it so that she has no doors, no shower doors.
Really?
We did like knee walls on each side where you just have an entry, and then to the right is a big shower, and then to the left is like a dressing, you know, towel off, you know, type of area.
Yeah, I'm trying not to visually picture it.
Right.
But yes. Yeah.
But
go
you
ahead.
Know, it's just like, you know, it's two separate areas, you know, kind of like a dry area and then a wet area, right? But that way you only have to have glass on the knee walls. You don't have to have a shower door.
Oh, yeah.
And it just kind of, you know, makes it more functional for people.
You get in by way, I'm assuming, the dry area.
Right. You know, it's just you walk into, you know, an opening, more or less.
Did this take more of an opening than a standard tub? I mean, did you have to move a wall?
We did not have to move any walls.
Yeah.
We actually built, you know, little knee walls, you know, so no of doing that. It just, you know, what you're doing is you're turning that area that was the tub. Part of it became, excuse me, part of it became shower.
Yeah.
And a little part of it became, you know, that little step-in dressing area.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it was really cool.
That's great. Rhonda will do lots of little things for some folks.
Yep.
And she'll do big things like this.
Right.
Rhonda, my coffee cups are in the wrong place. And my wife and I can't figure out where they should be. Can you come over and just maybe you'll decide that they're not in the wrong place. It's just the handle part needs to be to the left.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than the right.
Yep.
That's an exaggeration.
Right, but some people, in other words, people sometimes they just want paint colors, and we can do that. I went to a house this week that they want to paint the outside of their house, and it's a big project. It's brick, and part of it's brick, part of it's siding, and, you know, they just didn't want to make, you know, the wrong choice, you know, because it's a big endeavor, and so they wanted a little bit of landscaping advice as well. And even though I don't know a whole lot about plants, I can tell you what looks good.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And, you know, I also noticed at this particular job that they had some water issues. It's a younger couple.
Yeah.
And you could go to their backyard, and you know how when you just see all of that mold growing, you know, the moss growing, and you can just smell like wet mud. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, younger couple, they don't know. You know, they had bought this house, you know, not too long ago.
Yep.
And so I recommended Brock.
Good.
You know, to go over there. And I said that they, you know, before they painted, you know, they needed to get that under control, because you could already tell, like, on the trellises of the deck and all that mold and mildew is just already growing.
And you voluntarily
right.
took the number two slot in the Let's Fix the House.
Right. You know, so if I notice things like that, you know, the worst thing I want them to do is to pay $20,000 to get the house painted,
yeah.
you know, how much ever it's going to be. It's a pretty big house.
Sure.
You know, and then they have to redo it because something's wrong. It's a wet basement. I can, you know, like crawl space area.
Yeah.
You can look at it the way the land is sloping. The water is running right into their crawl space.
You know, my own daughter bought a house based on what? The inside of the house.
Right.
And now that you mention that, her backyard, you look up to, it's like a terraced kind of thing.
Right.
Not terrorists. It was a terrace.
Mm-hmm.
There's a small wall, or there seems to be a small ridge. And I would bet the water runs all the way down.
Yeah. If, you know, a clue if you got a water issue in your yard is the moss.
It is.
Moss growing, you got a water issue.
Yeah.
And you can smell it. Like, I don't know if it's my nose or what, but literally as soon as I walked in her backyard, it smelled like wet mud.
We could not have that in my house because there's so much sunshine everywhere.
Right.
I'm betting this neighborhood or this woman had trees.
Yes, it was trees back there, and I don't know. I could just smell the wet mud.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I could literally smell it. And so, you know, even though that's not what she hired me to do,
yeah.
you know, when, you know, I know enough about those kind of things to say, here you go. It might be a good idea for you to get this checked out.
Yeah.
Because I can promise you, you've probably got a water issue down there.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I noticed there was not some gutters on the house as well that probably should have been gutters.
No gutters?
There were gutters.
Okay.
But not on some of the areas that I was thinking that probably should be gutters,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
They were planning on getting new gutters anyway, so I'm just like, yep, they need to probably evaluate, you know, the placement of these gutters and make sure, you know, you get that. But you know, I've already got her in touch with Brock, and,
good.
You know, I'm sure Brock could go over there and take care of her, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, little things like that, you know, I hate to see people waste money.
Yes.
You know, so the last thing I would want them to do is to paint their house, and then they have this water issue, and things have to be tore out, and then they got to repaint areas of the house. You know, just that's wasteful.
Right.
You know, it's better to get those things addressed and wait to paint.
That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
On the subject of painting, here we are on the radio,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking about painting and colors.
Right.
That's a very hard concept, but we're going to jump right in it.
Right.
Is mauve really a color?
Mauve, my head immediately goes to the 80s.
Okay.
Right, you know, right. Williamsburg blue and mauve.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody who grew up in the 80s remembers those color tones.
Williamsburg
blue.
Blue is sort of the colonial blue?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah, like a colonial blue.
And then
now, what I do see that's coming back are still those blues and those pinks, just a little bit different version of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure everybody remembers the Waverly prints of the 80s.
Okay.
That is coming back as well. The younger generation is kind of loving that. A little updated from what it was then, a little bit more abstract-y, but that kind of look is definitely coming back.
What is that? Waverly prints?
Like flowerly. You know, lots of flowers. You know, flowers and big prints and, you know, lots of color. Definitely coming.
And for those who walked away from the concept of wallpaper, at a certain point it was just, forget it. I knew a guy who was a distributor or a salesperson for wallpaper. And he got to a certain age, and wallpaper got to a certain age, he said, I can't sell a roll.
No, exactly. So
I can't sell it.
It has definitely. It come back? Oh, it's back. It's back big time. The good thing about wallpaper these days is, you know, the glues have improved. You know, the lots of printing. Like the printing of wallpapers these days is just so much more vivid and 3D-ish. And, you know, just the different options of wallpaper are just kind of crazy. You know, the different styles you can get. You can get anything from something that looks like shiplap on the wall all the way to, you know, a huge floral to one that looks like steel or metal. And, I mean, you literally would go up and touch it because it looks that real. And, you know, that's just the printing process of wallpapers these days. But the glues are a whole lot better, you know, so the nightmare of taking them down these days are not as bad as it was back then. As long as you get somebody who knows what they're doing, you still have to prep your walls properly before you put wallpaper up. It's called sizing. It's a material that goes on the walls prior to putting wallpaper up that makes the process of taking the wallpaper down and replacing it easier where it doesn't tear your drywall up.
Okay. Now, for people who are looking for a house and they run into the straight 70s wallpaper still up there.
Going to be a nightmare.
It is.
Hire somebody to do it.
Hire somebody. Okay.
Because, so you don't get a divorce over it. Because, I mean, it's up there. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's up there.
There is no way really to know how hard that project's going to be.
Until you start it.
Because you don't know whether the people put it up DIY and didn't size the wall.
Or how many layers that there are.
Oh, my.
I've had, you know, some houses, you know, that I've gone in and helped, you know, with the remodel process, older houses. And literally, one of mine, in fact, had mine that I redid that was a 1974 house, had two or three layers of wallpaper. You know, so fortunately for us, it was mold, had mold and mildew issues anyway, so we just did all new drywall, so it just came down.
Oh, good, yeah.
But that's probably what you'll end up doing when you have the two to three layers.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. When you're talking full room of wallpaper,
right.
You're saying you're lucky if you just have to tear everything down to the studs.
Right.
Okay.
Sometimes, literally... It, at times, depending on the size of the room, can be cheaper. Seriously, I'm not kidding. Because some wallpaper that's up there would tear up the wall so bad trying to get it down that you've got to do so much work to get the walls back smooth again that you might as well just start from scratch.
Okay.
I mean, seriously.
Makes sense. All right, we are on with Rhonda Benvey Plummer of Help Me Rhonda. Interiors. I got to write the word interior somewhere. Help Me Rhonda Interiors on Making Your Home Great. 92.9 FM and 107.5 FM. And of course, always on 680 WPTF. FM 92.9 and 107.5 FM. And then on AM 680 WPTF. This is Making Your Home Great. Rhonda and I are just giggling a little bit because of the Symphony Orchestra ad. I want everybody to pay attention to the details of the ad, and I want eventually to come up with a thought. Where is that accent from? Is there a town or a village or a state where they speak like this?
I don't know.
Yes, it's a wonderful night of orchestra.
Orchestra.
Do you think people meet each other on the street and talk like that?
I don't think so.
I would like a cappuccino. All right, we're actually talking home improvement, making your home great. I've got a Cape Fear Seafood gift certificate if you can come up with a question. Now, sometimes people think that Rhonda Benvey Plummer has to then not answer the question. This is not trivia for Rhonda. You're not going to be able to ask a question in her area without her knowing it.
I hope so.
She relies on her experience. How many years of experience?
Next year will be 30 years.
30 years.
30 years.
And mostly interiors, although you'll go outside and do exteriors if it, you know.
Yes.
If
for
it
sure.
suits somebody.
Right. That's right.
That's good. So the along with the symphony season, which is starting. Football season started just a couple of days ago.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
And, of course, I'm talking about the pros. When we talk college football,
right,
we generally listen to it. That's we on 680 WPTF and,
right,
and company. But for professional football, I want the widest screen possible.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the blades of grass when when some of these guys play, even though it's a carpet.
I always laugh thinking about this time of year and how many TVs they probably sell during the Labor Day sales, because you know they sell a lot of TVs during the Labor Day sales. Just people updating their TVs or whatever the case may be.
Now, as someone with the single place in the house where you would put the television, it's right there.
It's right there.
Usually
the most prominent thing in the room for most people.
And I got a window on one side, I got a window in another, and the mantle. Directly underneath.
Yeah.
Is it okay to buy a TV that overlaps the windows a little bit?
What do you mean overlaps what windows?
Well, I've got the two windows on the side of the fireplace.
Oh, no.
And what I'd like to do is...
That's a big fat no.
Now, hear me out. You know, we can close the blinds, the hurricane blinds or whatever they are, behind it, and you wouldn't even notice the window.
No. TV should not be bigger than the mantle.
The mantle?
If you're putting it over the mantle, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm hanging it from the wall, but I'm putting it on the above
the mantle.
It shouldn't be bigger than the mantle.
No, should not be bigger than the mantle.
Well, you know what you've just convinced me to do?
What?
Buy a bigger mantle.
Oh, that... always a big thing in the house, you know, when I go to people's houses. You know, you've got two groups of people. You've got the people who completely despise the TV hanging on the over the mantle.
Yeah.
And then you've got the group of people who, you know, that's where it's got to be.
Yeah.
Right? And so I kind of fall in between.
Yeah.
I used to be the absolutely no.
Right.
Because I think it depends on the size of the room. You know, you got to think about if you're sitting on a sofa, how high is that TV hanging?
Yeah.
You know, are you able to look at it without cocking your head back, you know, so far that your neck hurts, right?
Yeah.
Or is it at a better, you know, level? So then there was this genius. I must have been a genius person.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who came out with a bracket that you can hang your TV on that it actually pulls out from the wall and it goes down past your mantle where you get it at the right viewing level. I'm like, how genius, you know, is that? It's very easy, you know, to do. Plus a lot of the designs these days, people are going a little bit more simplistic. They're not really doing a mantle per se.
Okay.
You know, they have the nice linear, you know, fireplace, and then they're doing some kind of treatment on the wall, whether it be tile, wood, whatever the case, so that they're able to hang the TV, you know, a little lower.
Yeah.
So that it's not at such a high level that you're cocking your neck back and hurting your neck. That's good, too, because usually when you do that, then you can go bigger. You know, the TV can be, you know, a bigger size. Plus, you don't want the TV so big that it overpowers the room. You know, I mean, sometimes...
I'm not sure I understand that.
Yeah, I know. Most men do not.
I know.
You know, it's like go big or go home. But you don't want it to overpower, you know, the room so much that that's all you see. Now, I am a big fan of those picture frame TVs. Now, right now, they're costly. They're pricey. You know, you'll go and you're going to spend a whole lot more money for that one than you would kind of the same kind of, you know, DBIs or whatever they call them, DBIs.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, the same kind of picture quality, you're going to spend a lot more. But, boy, they are beautiful. So, when they're off, they look like a piece of artwork hanging on the wall.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk more about this. We are on Making Your Home Great, 92.9 FM and 107.5 FM and WPTF 680. 92.9 and 107.5 FM and 680 WPTF. This is Making Your Home Great. Rhonda Benvey Plummer is here, and we're going to talk about minimalist.
Less is more.
Really?
Yes, that is definitely the trend these days. And I think, you know, people are tired of clutter. You know, let's think about, you know, like back in the day, let's just say when I was growing up, you know, when there was no internet, there was no cell phones, there was no anything. Your mind wasn't as cluttered with things, right? So a little bit of clutter in your house, you know, probably didn't matter that much. You know, like my mom loved stuff, right? But I don't think it ever really thought about it. These days, when your mind is so boggled down with, you know, social media, internet, you know, it's, everything's in front of your face 24/7, right? Then you kind of, I think the new thing is you just kind of want your home to be clean and minimal with, you know, things that are bigger and make a bigger impact for the space mean something to you instead of a whole lot of little stuff, right?
Oh, okay.
So I feel like that's why the trend is kind of going that way, is because everybody's mind is just full, right?
We have in my daughter's house and in my house essentially a shrine to the children.
Right.
Okay. And what you can buy now, it's a wonderful thing. You get yourself a good digital picture of them.
Yes.
And they'll put it on a canvas, a huge canvas.
Yes.
I mean, 3.5 feet by 2.5 feet.
Right.
I mean, it's a big, I've got one in my house. My daughter has three from the same photograph. I mean, it's just awesome.
Right.
But I would bet you'd say it's minimalist.
It's, you know, the thing is think about have you been in somebody's house and they may have a big wall, and on that big wall they've got like a collage of like 15, 16 things, right?
Yes.
You just look at it and you don't know what to look at because it's just so much stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas now, to fill that same, let's just say, 15-foot wall, you know, you might be picking three big pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Right? To fill that space versus a whole bunch of little stuff that people used to do a little bit more of.
Oh, yeah. My mom had over 3,000 knickknacks. We know because we packaged them up
and sent
them
off. Yeah, exactly. It was my mama, too. Yes.
You know, at the end of life, you should not have 3,000 knickknacks.
No. Yes. And it gets kind of crazy, right? So that's kind of what the minimalist look is about. You still, in design, you still have to have your scale. In other words, you know, you don't have a 15-foot wall and have a 3-foot picture on it, wide picture, right?
Yeah.
That's not the right scale.
Okay.
So you still got to have that, but instead of it being a whole bunch of pictures, you might have one or two or three big pictures.
Yes.
Right? And that is what makes it feel more clean and straight-lined and not mind-boggling than, you know, a whole bunch of little pictures. And that's kind of hard to explain to some people, but I think, you know, when I go in and I talk about it, like, there's some people who have, like, these huge dining rooms, right? Yep. And the wall is, like, 16 feet long. They're like, what do we do with this? And I'm, you know, so the thing now is to have those two or three pictures. Or maybe the wallpaper becomes your art, and you have no art on the wall.
Right.
It's just the wallpaper is your art, right? That's kind of like that minimalist look now, and that's definitely what we're seeing trending.
And so, and somebody has to determine the scale for a lot of other people. There are a lot of people who don't see scale.
Scale and balance are the reason I say I have a job.
Yeah?
Yeah, because people get that wrong. And they know it, usually. They know something's wrong. That's why they call me. They just don't know what it is.
Okay.
You know, so the room could be just so out of balance and out of whack that you just, like, it's like, what's wrong with this room? You don't feel right about it. Or things could be so out of scale that it just, you know it. You feel it. You just don't know what it is.
I get that. Mm-hmm. All right. So my house was delivered to me from the builder in agreeable gray,
right,
with gray cabinets, which were maybe two tones away from agreeable gray.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We put in a floor that was gray. It's a beautiful floor. Craig, the floor guy, did it, and it's a great pick because it looks beachy and, you know,
right,
relaxed. And how do we get away from gray? I mean, what scientist said all houses have to be gray?
Gray. Well, gray definitely has run its course here for a while, it seems like. I mean, I remember it was probably like 2012 when the gray trend was starting to come on board. And I was just like, oh, I've never liked gray that much, right? You know, so, but then it, you know, kind of revolutionized and the grays got kind of warmer instead of so cold. And it's easy to mix things with warm grays and warm your space up. Like, you know, there's creams that go with warm grays.
Wait a minute. My solution to all gray is to get warm gray?
No.
No.
If your warm gray is there and you don't want to paint, you don't want to change your cabinets, you don't want to do any of that, then you can mix like creamy undertones with those grays so that everything don't seem so gray.
Oh. So get creamy undertones.
Yeah. Like maybe you got to get a new sofa. So instead of the sofa being gray, you get more of a creamy type of sofa that mixes with the grays. Or, hey, and your favorite thing, pillows. You can bring the pillows in.
Oh. All right. We should just say, Holly Bowers has come in. So has Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. Holly, of course, from Roofworks. You're both laughing at me.
Yes, because you hate pillows, and we know it. But I want to get you some pillows. I think I might get you some for Christmas.
You know,
some pillows.
The most annoying thing is to approach the couch, which is gray, by the way. I just want to know. With two beverages, and there's a pillow right there. And I got to move the pillow with my hands full, okay?
Then you have a pretty basket that you put the pillow in when you have to move it.
What I have is the American sofa where the middle seat comes down and it is a cup holder.
Oh.
That is the American seat. It tips back so I can see my TV properly. And anyway,
it's a bench seat out of an 88 GMC.
Yeah,
that's exactly what
our
it is.
Our theater room couch is what I would call it.
So I get away from gray by put creamy colors in.
Yeah, you know, as you change things up in your home.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want to change those big ticket items like flooring, you know, cabinets.
No,
all
we
about.
Just paid for that.
Right. And, you know, then there are ways to kind of, as you upgrade things, you know, get away from that gray.
Okay. The minimalist thing that we talked about just a few moments ago, does that also, are there seasons in which you throw out the minimalist idea? Because I know somebody with the fall, Brock, the fall colors just came up.
Yeah, I know.
The fall colors. Holly.
I bet you're seeing it a lot at your house, aren't you, Dave?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what's funny is the fall colors go up, and then closer to November or in November,
right,
the turkeys come out.
Right.
And the orange pillows.
Orange pillows.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It says happy fall, y'all. Does it say that?
Happy fall, y'all.
So for fall and Thanksgiving and for Christmas, can we throw out the minimalist idea? Or we want to keep the minimalist?
Most people do.
They do? Okay.
Yes, most people do. You know, especially the people who like to decorate, you know, for the holidays. That's fine.
How about you, Holly?
Yeah. That's me. I definitely like to decorate.
You got to pull that microphone closer. Holly's got to be on the radio. You do what for fall?
No, yeah, I decorate. So because it helps you change things up. So.
It does.
It does.
Makes you happy.
You know,
seasonal.
Yeah, seasonal decorations. I think we all kind of do a little bit of the seasonal. But what's interesting to me, you guys talking about the colors and the coming into the break. I was listening in the car on the way over here. We all go through fads. I mean, I grew up in the early 80s. That was all wood, panel, brown, dark brown.
Yes.
Right? And then the 90s came around, everything went to beige and different offsets of beige. And then gray. Mm-hmm. So we've gone through brown, beige, and gray.
Yep.
We want to take a guess on what the next bland color is
going to
be.
What is it? No.
Grayish. Oh, no. Grayish.
It's grayish.
What is grayish?
Grayish.
Beige and gray?
Gray mixed together.
Of course it is.
Think of taupe.
Taupe. Yeah, I can think of taupe, but I don't know what it is.
Like that taupey kind of undertone, you know. And it's a great way of saying, hey, guys, we can mix the grays and the beige together. You just got to know which ones work and which ones don't.
No.
You know?
It's a great way of saying, folks, we have run out of ideas.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We're just going to mix the last two things that were cool.
Let's just make sequels. We'll just keep
doing
sequels.
I've even noticed in, you know, like we get new fabrics and new fabric books and all of that, you know, on a regular basis with the trends.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that even some of the new patterns and fabrics that are out are definitely putting the beige and the grays together.
Yeah.
You know, they're putting them together, you know, as that thing that pulls it all together, you know, so you don't have to change everything in your house.
And you know the color combinations that actually work.
Yes.
And you will advise people on that.
Yes.
You will advise people when a wall has to go.
Yes.
You will follow through on it.
I can.
Removing the wall.
Yes.
And doing what needs to be done to make the house livable.
Yes. Can do it all.
Removing walls are great.
Yeah. They really are.
Is it fun?
Well, I mean, I love it because you just open the space up.
So. And it's kind of funny how much bigger it feels, isn't it? Yeah. That's crazy.
Okay.
I'm working on a project, hopefully getting ready to do that soon. So I'm excited.
There you go.
Tear out a wall?
Yeah, a couple of them.
It's your place?
No, it's a big project we're working on.
Okay.
For roof
work, so. Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Oh, roof and wall works. All right, I got Millie on the line. We got to put Millie on. Hello, Millie. You are on the radio on WPTF.
Thank you.
Hey, go ahead. Speak right up.
Dining room and living room joining. What window treatments would be suggested?
I'm not quite sure I heard her.
Millie, we're going to have to get you to speak up. And, of course, we're going to turn the phone machinery up as loud as we can. And then nobody else is going to talk. Millie, go.
Okay. I'd like to know the window treatments that you would recommend for. I have double windows in the dining room.
Yeah.
And my dining room and living room are kind of joined.
They're kind of what?
Connected.
Okay.
Living room and dining room. She wants the window treatments.
What kind of window treatment would I recommend for that?
What color are the rooms, Millie?
Oh, they're beige.
They're beige.
They're beige.
Okay.
So window treatments, literally there's thousands of choices, right? Yeah. Not only are there lots of choices of window treatments, but certain window treatments don't work on certain window framings as well.
Yeah.
So it really does depend on like the trim around your windows, the depth and how much depth you have and how you can hang them, whether you can inside hang them or outside hang them. And it really does depend on the decor of your house. So, you know, if you're traditional, transitional. I'm a drape girl. I think drapes add so much to a house. It's like putting your earrings on after you've gotten dressed and ready to go.
It really
adds warmth and depth to a space. Doesn't mean that they got to close. Doesn't mean that they have to be heavy. Just that really pretty panel on each of the end of the windows really does finish out a space nicely. If you need it for
now, I have the drapes with the balance.
Valances are kind of out. It's more about a really nice rod.
Ooh.
You know, so you have the rod. And it also depends on, you know, do you need privacy? If you need the window treatments to close, then obviously you're going to have more fabric, more widths, depending on the width of the window. Or you can do what you call a double layer, which you still have just the pretty panels on the end, but you can have like a shade or woven blind, you know, all different kinds of things that you would pull down for privacy. So lots of options I have all of those options at my shop, and I can also bring to your house if you're interested.
Mildy, thank you very much. We've got a Cape Fear Seafood $25 gift certificate headed your way. Mildy, thank you. Hold on, we'll get your details. This is Making Your Home Great on FM 92.9 and 107.5 and 680 WPTF. FM 98.5, AM 680 WPTF. You can contact Rhonda Benvey-Plummer at HelpMeRhondaInteriors.com. And she has made her way out. I didn't know she was going to leave, but she allotted some time for us, and she gave it her all. Holly Bowers is here from Roofworks, and Brock Emmons from Triangle Radiant Barrier. So what did you learn in the last couple of minutes with Rhonda?
Oh, a whole lot. I love being on the show with Rhonda. So. Yeah.
She's
always
all right.
Talking about design and colors, that's kind of my thing. So,
very good.
She's one of my favorites.
It's definitely right. The right person to ask that question to. If you ask me, you know, what window treatments, I'm like, blinds.
Yes.
Obviously, we need blinds.
I still call them Venetian blinds.
The Venetian blinds.
Yes, the thin metal ones that Mom had. I don't want to talk about anything else.
Yeah, her answer was better, the rod and the beautiful drapes. Yes. That makes sense. All right.
You learn. All right, so... Brag to me, Holly, about a project that Roofworks is involved in.
Oh, gosh. We have so much going on right now. I want to give a shout out to our team because we have been extremely busy since the big storm that came in with all this rain, and they have worked so hard. So I think to talk about anything right now, we're chasing a lot of leaks and just making sure that we're getting people's issues taken care of, and that's really, I mean, the biggest thing is just how great our team has come together to get to all these people and help take care of them.
In my area, the storm wasn't a windy thing. It was rain straight down. Are you responding to calls where the wind has blown shingles off?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of everything because we had that big storm come through, and then we've had quite a few big storms since then, some huge torrential downpours. So it's just kind of fed the pot. But there's a lot of people out there that have issues that we're just trying to get to and hopefully get them taken care of and help find some good solutions for them.
Rhonda was talking earlier about gutters. People are calling, they're going to wait until the season's done with the leaves, obviously. Then they're going to have their gutters cleaned.
Yeah, I mean, if you do it now, I mean, depending on how, if they're full right now, go ahead and get them taken care of. But essentially, you don't want to get your gutters cleaned out if the leaves and everything haven't fallen off the trees, because then we got to come right back and take care of that. So it doesn't really make too much sense.
And if people don't have gutters, please, the two of you, sell them some gutters. I'm saying, like, right now on the radio for the next couple of minutes, make the point how important are gutters.
Yeah, they're so important. I mean, people, they're just as important as your roof system. So if you don't have a gutter system currently installed, you absolutely need to talk to someone about getting gutters on. And Brock, from a foundation standpoint, I mean, he can reiterate why it just getting that water away from the house is so critical.
Yeah, you know, your house is your biggest investment, right?
Yeah.
I think it's probably the most valuable thing we all
invest in. Well, other than teenagers, certainly.
You're right, other than the kids. Protect it. Put a good roof on it. Put gutters on it. Get water away from it. It's just about protecting your investment. So if you don't have gutters, it is definitely going to cause several different types of problems over the years. They're not cheap to be installed, but it's also not something that you have to do again. Just ensure that they're done properly. It's a one-time investment, right?
Right.
If they ever get damaged in a storm, they're going to be replaced along with your roof. That's an insurable component. So just get them on there. Make sure that you're protecting your investment. That's it.
And the gutters, Holly, do you suggest some sort of top on the gutters?
Yeah,
something to keep the leaves off.
Yeah, if you're in an area that's got, you know, woods, trees, definitely, because what that's going to do is just protect those gutters from getting clogged, and it really will prevent you from having to get those serviced every couple times a year.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to think about the investment. If you're in an area with an open field with no trees around, it doesn't economically make sense to pay for gutter guards. But if you're not and you do have a lot of tree coverage, then yes.
Now, does RoofWorks have one special gutter guard, for want of a better term? I think there's probably a company.
We have a couple because the gutter guards, they depend on what type of tree coverage. So if you have pine needles, for instance, there's going to be a better system for pine needle debris that falls off versus like big oak leaves. So you just want to make sure that you do get the right system depending on what type of tree coverage you have.
I will never have you out to clean my gutters. I'm in a brand new neighborhood, and you know what they do with brand new neighborhoods. They name it Forest Grove. They cut down the forest.
Right.
And they put the houses in the grove.
And they plant you a sapling out in the front yard.
That's exactly right.
50 years, it might be big enough.
It might be big enough.
Yeah, so what you have is you're just open in an open field. Open. So you have a ton of sun exposure, which beats down on the roof. So if that's the case, just make sure you've got proper ventilation, proper insulation, because there's no way to cool that house.
Now, Rhonda called you or had a customer call you. Have you been to that house?
Not yet. Okay. Rhonda reached out the tail end of this last week and had a customer she had been working with that's having some pretty aggressive, what it sounds like is some pretty aggressive moisture issues underneath the house. So I believe we're scheduled to go out and do a site inspection for her, take a look and see where we need to go.
She said that there were lots of trees, so you got that shade.
Right.
And that the lay of the land was such that water would naturally flow in the direction of the house, and it smelled like mold in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
How could that happen?
I am probably going to find quite a bit of mold underneath the house.
You do?
Yeah, when the yard is graded towards the property,
there's
already evidence that a bunch of water is getting under the house after a major storm. The musty smell is white mold. That's what produces a musty smell. So if you can stand outside of the crawl space and catch wind of it, that's probably going to be fairly serious.
All right. We're going to continue this conversation after our news. By the way, yes, there's football today. So we're going to break at 12:30 for the game. This, of course, is Making Your Home Great with Holly Bowers and Brock Emmons on FM 92.9, 107.5, and WPTF. When I said seconds, did I lie? No. We're on now. Holly Bowers of RoofWorks and Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. Holly, you've seen leaks, roof leaks, that have turned into horror stories.
Yeah,
tell me that.
We've seen.
It's got to be wind damage, right? Coming out of these
seen
storms?
Any and everything. I mean, if you ask from the time I've been there, it's just, I mean, we still get surprised. There's still things that pop up that we're just like, wow. But yeah, we ran into a big one. Carrie was showing me he's pricing it out, but just a lot of mold coming through the sheetrock on the underside of it. So you don't typically see that unless it's usually been an issue for quite a while.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty nasty leak, so hopefully we can get that homeowner taken care of and get that rectified for her.
And so you've got drywall, or they do. Thank goodness it's them. They've got drywall that was so wet for so long that mold has eaten through the drywall.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looked like from the pictures that the field brought back. But like I said, it's just, we've seen a lot of big ones because we've gotten torrential downpours, which in turn, it just brings a ton of water in your house. So water damage is just the worst thing you can have. And that's all we've been doing, is just chasing leaks.
And any discoloration on the ceiling on your top floor has got to be looked at.
Yeah, definitely look at it, because even if it's not, I mean, we've run into several, especially over the summer, where the homeowner will call and say they got a roof leak, but then there's no rain, and then there's the drip pan on the HVAC right. is leaking, so there's other things that potentially yeah. could be, but just call us, and we'll go out there and assess it and at least let you know what needs to happen.
They route the drip pan to a PVC pipe leading to the ground?
Well, I think a lot of times you see it in the attic. I mean, it might be that the pipe system is clogged up and the HVAC system needs to be serviced. But like I said, it's you just don't know. You just get somebody out there to look at it, and then hopefully they'll give you put you in the right direction. If it's not an issue on our end, we always let the homeowner know what needs to happen.
Once I know that it's got to be replaced, how many options do I have?
For the roof replacement? Or
yeah, roof replacement.
Yeah, there's tons and tons of options. So it's that's why it's critical to have our consultant come out and kind of walk you through the process, figure out what your budget is, what you want, and then they can help you decide. A lot of it goes into how much you want to spend, and also the design and the architectural style of your house, because
right.
a certain...
Okay,
certain roof systems look better with certain design built homes.
All right, let's pick up with Jimmy. Jimmy, welcome to the program. What's your hometown?
It's really Frog Hop. It's really a small community between Youngsville, Roseville, Lewisburg, and Zebulon, and I moved to Raleigh. So I've been in Raleigh for a pretty long time now.
Okay,
so.
All right. Well, I want to ask you about that town. I'm hearing it as Frog Hop.
Frog Hop, yeah. Well, the tale was that I went to school down here and everything, and I stayed with my grandmother.
Yeah.
My mom was born in a small community. A couple of roads were named after my grandfather because he owned a lot of acreage, and he ran a cucumber shed and ran
a
tobacco place and everything. But when it rained, for some reason, the frogs that came out from under, they lived in an old house that was built in 1899.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when it rained, the frogs used to hop out from underneath the house. So we just called it Frog Hop.
Frog Hop. Okay, good. I'm glad it wasn't like a Confederate general.
Oh, no.
General
no,
Frog
no, 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 but I
was...
could tell you some tales about my family goes way, way back. We ran Ancestry.com on it and everything. I think we came over here like in 1840 and 1845, either in the potato famine or some sort of famine from England during that time. So.
Right. Well, Jimmy, what's the question? You've got Holly Bowers from Roofworks and Brock Evans of Triangle Radiant Barrier.
Jimmy, I'm in the Northridge shop, right back at the shopping center. You're familiar with us. You did our roofs about 6 or 7 years ago.
Sure. Okay.
And, Dave, first of all, I've got a suggestion. Have you ever thought about having gutter people one weekend on your show?
Oh, we have a gutter person on the show very often. Okay. She's Holly Bowers of Roofworks.
Oh, okay. So she's the gutter guru.
We don't like to call her.
No, yeah, we do have a service manager that.
And Holly, I have passed on to you from your workers that have come out here and done some work on my house to let you know that I love this program and everything. And a lot of us in the community do, even though we don't phone you as much as I do. We love it and everything. And y'all did such a good job on our roofs and everything. And the people were so cordial and nice and everything. And we all wanted to say thank you to you, Holly.
Oh, that was so nice of you.
Nice
testimony.
We had your competition do us on the street over from us.
Oh, yeah.
They did not, I won't leave any names, but they did no... not as good at work as Roofworks and everything. So
that's good.
The question that I've got, Holly, and in general, I like to be proactive instead of reactive with my roof, especially since we've had all these rains come through lately. The last rain was, I believe, the strongest was the most since Floyd in 1999. I mean, it's been absurd. I had a couple of your workers. I had some nails that popped up, and I talked to, I believe it was Joy and Wendy, and I believe Wendy was the scheduler.
Okay, yes.
If I'm not wrong, and they were both very sweet to me and everything.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, and he came out here, and he kind of, you know, well, the only question I've got is that you don't wait for a leak to happen with your roof, it's better to be proactive. Like if you, because I'm worried about if nails pop up that we can have a leakage around the nails. So they kind of, you know, did a tour of my roof and everything, and they nailed it down and caulked it. It was in front of the house where the roof, has an apex and everything, and it was in the front looking out from my
right
front door.
Right. All right. Hold on. Holly, nail pops.
Yeah. So
do they happen?
They do. And that's, so we did. Like he was saying, certain streets, certain roofs out there at Northridge, but you're certainly under warranty. So if you, I don't know if you're on the HOA, but if any, you know, the homeowners are seeing anything that looks different or looks like it needs to be addressed, just certainly call us or call your HOA first. They'll send the work order in, but you guys are under warranty with not just us, but the manufacturer. So we want to make sure we address all those issues because we don't want any water coming in.
Right, Holly. Yeah, I've got another quick question, then I'll let you go.
Go ahead.
When you put your roof on, does the owner of the roof have to specifically ask, or do you do it on your own initiative? The HVAC pipe that's out, the attic fan, the metal thing that's on the roof, the chimney cap and stuff like that, is that stuff that you do when you do the roof, when you do the roof inspection, or is that something you only do at the request of the homeowner and everything? Because I would have thought that, because
all right,
know,
hey, Jimmy, you know, you've asked an excellent question.
Yeah.
Let Holly answer it.
Okay.
So the chimney caps, we did replace most of the chimney caps for the roofs that we replaced out there in Northridge. That was part of the HOA project that we did with the roof replacement. And as far as the attic fans, the way that we did that, each HOA is a little bit different. We asked each homeowner if they wanted the attic fan replaced. We recommended replacing the attic fans, as always, if we're putting ridge vent in, because typically you don't want both systems. But there were some homeowners that are pretty adamant about keeping the attic fan, you know, regardless of us recommending it. So if the attic fans were replaced, then the homeowner had to give us approval for that, and they were responsible for paying for it. The ones that did not want to keep them, we just terminated the attic fans completely and terminated the wiring and covered the hole and put shingles and plywood up there. And as far as the stack pipes, when you get the roof replaced, we don't replace the HVAC stack pipes. You're going to need to use an HVAC company for that. What we do is we shingle around the flange to make sure that penetration where that pipe is coming through the roof is dried in. So if you need a new stack pipe, then we'll have to work with a contractor that does HVAC stack pipes, and we'll go out with them and we'll do the roofing portion of it, but they're the ones that have to actually replace that pipe.
Yeah, and y'all, I believe, replaced my chimney cap. I believe you were the ones. I don't know if you contracted it out, but y'all did that several times.
Yeah, we did it. We did a lot of chimney caps out there, and which you guys needed them because they were rusted out, so we wanted to make sure that we did the roof, and I know you guys got a lot of siding work done, so it was just that time to get that whole building envelope taken care of.
Yeah, typically, how long does a chimney cap last?
Oh, well, the ones we put on, I mean, they'll last as long as the roof. If not, they're going to outlast the roof.
I was going to say, it should be somewhere between 20 and 40 years, depending on the weather, climate, and what kind of hurricanes and tornadoes and stuff come through. And
Does it matter whether it's copper or steel on the chimney cap?
Well, I mean,
price-wise.
It does, yeah. I mean, they're both going to last a very long time.
Right.
But copper, like Brock said, is more of an aesthetic thing. If you've got copper accents, copper valleys, copper gutters, you definitely want to put, you know, the copper chimney cap to match everything. But the ones that we put out there are great. So they're going to last you guys a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I've got a quick joke for everybody, if that's okay.
Okay, but I'm
rapping with a joke.
But
okay.
Jimmy, I'm going to joke right back at you, so go ahead.
Okay, what's a good name for a female lawyer?
Ooh.
Be nice. Be nice here.
I don't know. What is it?
Sue.
Okay, that's pretty good.
All right, Jimmy, I want you to know you can call anytime. But listen, I am very happy to hear how the Ancestry.com thing worked out.
Played out.
Yeah.
Well.
Now, Jimmy. You got to call me back when the 23andMe comes in, okay?
Well,
and you,
yeah, Yeah, the only problem that you have with the tree roots is sometimes you have broken branches and bad roots.
You're exactly right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Demi.
Thank you, thank you, Holly. You're a godsend. I hope you have a good day, Your Majesty.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for calling. And call us if you ever need anything, okay?
Thank you. And this is just a wonderful show. We really, we all deeply appreciate it in the Northridge HOA.
It's good to hear.
A lot of us listen to it.
So. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
Y'all are great. Thanks, Brock.
Have
thanks
a good one.
Everybody. Y'all have a great day. Okay.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
This is 92.9 107.5, Making Your Home Great on 680 WPTF. FM 92.9, 107.5, and 680 WPTF, Making Your Home Great, with Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier and Holly Bowers of Roofworks. All right, we want to try something here. We got to fade down that music, because we're going to present some other music. We're going to have a new segment in honor of the fact that this is the first Making Your Home Great that has been shortened because of football. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bum. Here's Brock Emmons with the keys to the game.
The key to the game is to score more points than your opponent.
Ba-ba-ba-bum. Ba-ba-ba-bum-ba-dum. Okay.
That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here.
Good advice.
We're here for the comedy. All right. You did something that I would never do.
Uh-oh.
You tried to talk to an engineer.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, period. That's an uphill battle. No, if you find, honestly, if you're in a technical area,
right,
engineers will drive you nuts just by watching you put in whatever it is you do.
They can, day after day. You know, sometimes. Most of my conversations with engineers are very smooth.
Oh, good.
Because in most cases, they're fairly educated on the topic. So it's, you know, just walking them through the reasons behind things. And they'll nod and say, yeah, they make sense. And we move on.
Yeah. Okay.
I did have a unique conversation this last week with an engineer. Very intelligent man. Had a nice long conversation with him throughout the day. He was very, very bright.
Yeah.
But towards the end of it, he was, you know, asking me, walk me through the radiant barrier, how you install it, you know, the reasoning behind it, how does it improve the airflow, you know, a lot of real technical questions, which we love because that's, you know, what we do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was walking him through everything, and he goes, well, you know, I don't know why you guys use that material that's not the most reflective metal.
Okay.
You know, because radiant barrier is primarily aluminum and mylar material. It's a reflective grade insulation. And he said, okay, well, that's not even the good stuff. Why are you guys using that? And I said, well, the other two reflective materials that are better are copper and gold. Do you have any idea what it would cost to install a copper or 24 karat gold insulation in your attic? And he kind of looked at me and went, okay. All right. That makes sense.
He's looking at one area,
yeah,
and not the whole picture.
I can do copper. I've got a contact over here with Holly. I'm sure we could fabricate a copper material to put up there, but it is going to cost as much as the house we're putting it in.
Wow. And Holly, really, Roofworks, to talk about the, you know, like the intrusions and the valleys for the house, the metal
dormers. And
you can do copper.
Oh yeah, we can. I mean, a whole copper roof system. So that we got some awesome guys.
Yeah,
Strickland runs our specialty department, and he is just an ace when it comes to any type of specialty work like copper, slate, tile. That's his thing. And then we got JJ that's in the sheet metal shop, and he can pretty much fabricate just about anything.
Boy, that's a skill set, isn't it?
It's such a skill set. I mean, it's so cool because that's, to me, like I talked about before, that's the art. That's the true art of roofing right there.
Yeah.
Putting shingles on is, you know, it's putting shingles on. But when you're getting into that high-end work, it's very, very important to make sure that you're working with a team that knows exactly how to install that and exactly what they're doing.
The edges have to look good. The corners have to look good. I mean, metal is unforgiving.
Oh, yeah. And you're spending, it's very, very expensive. So you just want to make sure that if you're going to make that investment, which copper roof is going to last for a lifetime.
Yeah.
If you're making that investment, just please go with a company that knows what they're doing.
I just got back from Ireland. I can attest that copper roofs last a long time. Some of these buildings were a couple of hundred years old with copper roofs.
Copper roof?
Yeah.
The now whole thing.
They get up there and treat them. So, you know, every 15, 20 years, they'll get up there and do a treatment on it. Again, these are the questions I'm asking the local contractors when I'm in another country. My wife is like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I got an engineer over here. I'm asking them why they do this. But it was interesting. Yeah, almost every roof over there was either slate or copper.
Wow.
And the copper roofs were 100 years old.
Yeah, and you I mean, that's why they cost more, but you're going to get such a huge lifespan out of it. And they're absolutely beautiful. Like you said, the architecture there is like
insane.
It's insane. But when you have a house here that's got a slate roof or a copper roof, I mean, it just stands out from everything.
You're going to be a whole lot. Your house is so much better than the neighbors.
Which is going to, it's just the durability of it is what's so great about it.
Yeah. Do they let them in Ireland turn green?
Yeah,
like
most of all of them had patinaed. And
it's almost impossible to imagine keeping copper exposed to the elements without having it turn.
I think that's what makes it look so cool.
I would agree. That's what gives it all the character. I mean, the copper looks nice when you first put in. We'll just talk the waterways on a roof, the valleys. Mm-hmm. If you do exposed valleys and do copper, you know, it pops. It really does look good. But once everything starts kind of changing color, that's when you step back and you're like, oh, okay, that's nice.
It is nice.
I like that. Okay.
I'll take your word for it. My family's never going to have that.
I can't afford it either. That's all right.
But it's, you know, it's nice to know that it's available.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I will never have a slate roof. But it's nice to know somebody's still doing it.
It is. And then there's tons of slate roofs around, too. So it's just having someone that can do restoration and repair work that knows what they're doing.
Right.
That's the important part. I said, it's very expensive. So just please just go with a company that has the knowledge and experience and wisdom behind it.
And can manufacture just about anything with metal. You could make gutters.
Yeah, we make commercial gutters all the time, the box gutter systems, and you've got your half round gutters. I mean, there's a lot of cool, so many cool things you can do with metal in our sheet metal shop.
That's
cupolas,
awesome.
Water tables, I mean, scuppers, like snow guards.
Okay, I never heard that one, a scupper?
Most of these words are made up. We were just going to see if you could catch on.
Well, listen, if you ever need
the flux capacitor.
Help with the degaussing magneto or the muffler bearings, you know about muffler bearings.
Being blinker fluid.
All right. But what is it? What was that word that you said? I said it. And I've forgotten it now.
Scupper. Oh, that's they use it on commercial roofs, so it essentially helps drain the water off the roofs.
Okay.
But a lot of these parts and pieces need to be custom made, and a lot of them we used to outsource. But now that we do have all the equipment, we're able to make all this in house.
Right.
We make our apron metal, any kind of custom flashing that we have for custom roof systems. If you're going with a higher end shingle system like a Grand Manor, you've got to have customized flashing because it requires your flashing to be bigger than your standard. So counter flashing. It was a very important piece that we've added.
Is there any? Well, I should ask Brock. Brock, you went to Ireland. You come back. Is there any interest in a thatched roof? Holly?
I don't think we're ever going to see those around here.
Yeah, in Ireland, I found many thatched roofs. Apparently, that's still a big thing over there.
Yeah.
Which is very cool, though.
The majority of them were shops and stuff like that.
Oh,
And I did ask somebody, I was like, who on earth does these thatched roofs? And, you know, the majority of the people I asked, they said there's only like four or five companies in the whole country that do it. So that it's a specialty thing.
It's basically braided.
With like a tar something. I don't really exactly know how they did it. It was almost like stepping into medieval times, but it was unique. It was neat.
I can imagine that it's probably a good energy saver, but then as far as fire rated, I mean, that's why you don't see them here, because they catch on fire. Like,
Not a lot of wildfires in Ireland, so it's probably not a big concern of theirs. But yeah, that definitely would be a concern, especially if you get struck by lightning.
Right.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, we got a UNC football game coming up in just moments.
Oh, yeah.
I've forgotten who they're playing, but they're playing somebody good. And
they need to score more points.
They need to score more points.
Sports.
No. That's it. That's the key to the game. We welcome you to enjoy it. This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF.